Coming up today on The Dwelling Place, looking for intimacy in the right place.
Guys are parked outside at that strip club, and they think they're just going out there to have a good time. You know what they're doing? They're worshiping. They're bowing down just as the children of Israel did in the Old Testament. And they're bowing down, and you are giving, surrendering your worship. Because here's the reality. We need to worship something because we long for intimacy. But that intimacy comes from God. And they're worshiping. Now, I'm not going to let you ladies off the hook either. They got some clubs for women, too. Amen. But what people are looking for in those places is intimacy. And the intimacy you long for, your soul is longing for, can only be fulfilled in God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs welcomes you to The Dwelling Place with our senior pastor, Al Pittman. As we continue our study of the seven letters to the seven churches of Revelation today, we look again at the compromise of the Church of Pergamum. Opportunities for compromise are everywhere today, and as believers, we must not only beware of them, but we must understand the consequences of succumbing to them. Here now is Pastor Al with today's edition of The Dwelling Place in Revelation chapter 2.
I was reading an article about a man that made himself out, I don't know if you saw this article, made himself out to look like a lizard through, you know, a surgery or, you know, tattoos or whatever, altered his nose, you know, implanted these things in his head to give him horns all in his head and all this. And he has his face, looks like a lizard, took his tongue, split it so that he has a forked tongue, and, you know, he sticks his tongue out, and he looks like a snake and all this kind of stuff. And he was a man, but now he wants to be a woman, so they... People, you know, to think they're being, you know, gracious or think they're being righteous, they want to respect, okay, the fact that he believes he's a lizard woman. So they don't want to offend him, so they call him a lizard woman. I said, no, I think I need to call that what it is. That's foolishness. Amen? That's foolishness. Call it what it is. But you can't say anything about it because everybody's an idol unto themselves. And you can't disagree with my idol. He's made an idol of himself. And I don't say that to mock the guy. The guy is lost. You don't have to put those things in your heads and all that and split your tongue. God loves you. That's what he needs to hear. You don't have to do all these things to your body. The Lord loves you. He died for you. But people in a need to worship, but a need to worship something greater than themselves will alter the way they look or do whatever, you know. But they're worshiping themselves. I thought about that, this mentality we see today. I mean, it's in our society. You can't say anything about anybody. Oh, you know, he's someone who's a man, not even want to be a woman. And you can't say anything about that. We have to honor, you know, the fact that Don wants to be Donna. And we need to call him Donna. No, you're Don. I thought, what if you carry that mentality over to raising our children? I remember the Christian comedian, Michael Jr., he told this joke one time. He'd never forget it. It was funny. He said, you know what? He's talking to his son. You know, every father wants a child to be a doctor or a lawyer, you know, to have these great aspirations, you know, to be someone great and all of this. And his son came to him one day and said, Dad, I want to be a doctor. Michael Jr. said, yes, inside. You know, he's like, yeah. And then his son says, or a giraffe. Back to square one, right? But wouldn't it be foolishness as a father to say, okay, we're cooking breakfast in the morning, pancakes and eggs and all this kind of stuff, but Junior here wants to be a giraffe, so we'll just give you leaves to eat. Well, we don't want to offend Junior because he believes he's a giraffe. We don't, just give him leaves, you know, give him a little hay on the side or something, but he wants to be a giraffe. Isn't that foolishness? No, you're the parent. Boy, you're not a giraffe. Amen. And now we have people today, amen, their kids come home and say, I think I'm a girl. Oh, you want to be a girl? You can be. No, you're the parent. You speak to them righteousness and truth. Amen. You tell them the truth. You don't just embrace whatever somebody says they want to be. That's an affront to the gospel. Well, I think I'm a girl. Boy, go look in the mirror. Take your clothes off. Let me tell you, you're a boy. You may have feminine tendencies or whatever, but you are a boy. And I know there are Christians in the church who struggle with homosexuality and struggle with those things. I get that. You know what? I have propensities I struggle against, but my propensities are not a sign of righteousness when God calls it sin. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and lizards, creeping things. The word is true. Paul saw this centuries before we even got here. And the word is true. We see that happening in our society today. And thinking themselves wise, they have become fools. Idolatry compromises our worship as Christians, and it makes fools of us all. Satan tempted Jesus even with idolatry. In the wilderness, the temptation of Christ, the devil came to him tempting the Lord. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, he said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." That's our example. That's our answer to the world today. I will worship the Lord my God, and him only will I serve. When the world comes along and says, bow down to the idol that we are worshiping, you say, no, I will worship the Lord my God. Amen. So Jesus warns them, there are those who've come among you with selfishness, those who've come among you promoting idolatry, as it was with Balaam. And those, thirdly, the third compromising characteristic of Balaam, who come among you promoting sexual immorality. And so he says here in verse 14, and the latter part of verse 14, and to commit sexual immorality. The third characteristic of the doctrine of Balaam that Jesus says we should resist. Sexual immorality abounds in the shadow of Satan's throne. It abounds wherever the devil is ruling. If you're caught up in sexual immorality, it's because you are bowing at the throne of the devil. Sexual immorality abounds where Satan's throne resides. It was the means by which Balaam sought to bring a curse upon the children of Israel. When the women of Moab and the Midianite women came in and seduced the men of Israel, and they began to bow down to the gods of Moab, it was pretty easy to seduce the guys, because involved in the worship of the Moabite god Bel, or Baal of Peor, Bel of Peor was their god. In the worship of this god, it involved sexual intercourse. And so these guys, they would come to these guys, I imagine, and say, "Will you come and worship our god?" And they said, "Well, I don't know if I can do that." "Well, you know, we can have sex." "Okay." That's what happened. Because sexual intercourse was involved in the worship of their god. And they bowed down to the god of Moab. And it was through sexual immorality. The word Bel or Baal means Lord or master. And the devil seeks to master you through the sin of sexual immorality. The devil wants to, through the sin of sexual immorality, not exalt Jesus as Lord, but yourself as Lord. And Jesus warns the church and Pergamos against this. I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, you know, my generation lied to me. Generation, the message in the 60s was, you know what? The sexual revolution. Remember that? And how it was going to liberate us. We were liberated. We were free, you know. But the reality is that we had sown and have sown the wind, and we are now reaping the whirlwind. According to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, sexually transmitted disease rates have hit an all-time high again. Sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, are on the rise, according to a report from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. In 2017, a record-breaking 2.3 million new cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis were reported. It's on the rise. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And why is that? Because mankind has rebelled against God, and we've enthroned ourselves as little gods. And sexual immorality has not made us better. It has made us worse as a society. And millions have fallen prey to the lie of sexual fulfillment. Many of us sitting here today, we've fallen prey to that lie in our past. Many believers are still struggling with that very lie, but it comes from the very throne of the devil. That which promises ecstasy in our lives, you know, in the shadow of Satan's throne, has only produced emptiness. That man who has sacrificed his whole family on the altar for sexual fulfillment has now lost his wife and his children, living in an efficiency apartment somewhere by himself, regretting the day that he had committed the act. That woman who has gone out and thought, oh, something better, the grass looked greener on the other side, come to find out it's just weeds. That joker got problems too. And all for sexual immorality, thinking that we could be fulfilled through sexual immorality. But the reality is that true intimacy can only be found in Christ. True intimacy can only be found in Christ. And that's what people are looking for. People want intimacy. And they believe that somehow sex can fill the God-shaped hole that is in their heart. But only God can fulfill that God-shaped hole.
Pastor Al will be back in a few moments with part two of today's message from Revelation 2.
Pastor Al Pittman's new commentary on the book of Revelation has hit the streets and struck a real nerve about the signs in our times.
The world is headed right now toward a one-world government that is headed up by the Antichrist, and the world will be ruled by one ruler.
Revelation, the Bible's last book, and one you must be familiar with. And Al Pittman's book is designed to do just that. And hey, the Antichrist is not breaking news. This is a modern version of an ancient plan of evil. Check it.
The devil is enraged. He hates this child. He wants to destroy this child. Destroy any opportunity for us to be reconciled to God. And yet, though he is poised and enraged, he is defeated.
Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. That is the heart of the new book by Al Pittman. Order your copy of Al's book, Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, at cwccs.org.
You know, the devil's out to get me. It doesn't matter. If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen?
Now, with more insight on the Lord's letter to the church in Pergamos, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
On my way to church, I drive by this place, and it's on the way to church, so you can't miss it. It's right there. It's a strip club. And I don't care, rain or shine, snow, sleet, blizzard, guys are parked outside at that strip club. And they think they're just going out there to have a good time. You know what they're doing? They're worshiping. They're bowing down just as the children of Israel did in the Old Testament. And they're bowing down and you are surrendering your worship. Because here's the reality, we need to worship something because we long for intimacy. But that intimacy comes from God. And they're worshiping. Now, I'm not going to let you ladies off the hook either. They got some clubs for women too. Amen. But what people are looking for in those places is intimacy. And the intimacy you long for, your soul is longing for, can only be fulfilled in God through faith in Jesus Christ. Psalm 107 verse 9 says that he, that is God, satisfies the longing soul and fulfills the hungry soul with goodness. You can go from relationship and relationship to relationship, end up contracting something that you didn't want to have and then have to live with it the rest of your life, or end up, you know, in different situations and all of that, and finding yourself that with Satan promised to be fulfilling, you're actually empty, leaving you empty, because it's the lie that proceeds from the very throne of the devil. Now, I share this not in a spirit of condemnation. Oh, boy, he's beating us up. No. I don't share it in a spirit of condemnation. I share it in a spirit of truth. To expose the lie proceeding from the Satan's throne, that our eyes might be open to the truth of the gospel, that we serve a God of restoration. We serve a God of renewal. We serve a God that is of everlasting hope. Amen. And therefore, the gospel. Amen. Give him praise and glory. And therefore, the gospel reaches to the uttermost, but it also reaches to the guttermost. It doesn't matter who you've done it with, how many times you've done it. Doesn't matter what you've lost in your life or whatever. I serve a God who is able to create beauty from the ashes of our own decisions. Amen. That's the God that we serve. It's never too late. Don't let the enemy lie to you. He's lied to you long enough. Let him lie to you no more. Let me tell you what the Lord says in the book of Isaiah. We go back to the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 1, after the Lord shares with Israel their rebellion against him and all of that, the Lord says this to them after recognizing all the unfaithfulness of the people of Israel. He says in verse 18, come now and let us reason together. You know, don't take your life. That's not a solution. Don't leave your spouse and don't, you know, run out and I'm gonna go out in the blaze of glory. Yeah. Don't turn to foolishness. He says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They shall be cleansed. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But there are consequences. There are consequences. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Come. Well, there's time. Let us reason together. It doesn't matter how great your sin is, because where sin has abounded, God's grace abounds even much more. Amen. It's never too late. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In conclusion, as Jesus talks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and then the doctrine of Balaam, he says here in verse 14 or verse 16, he gives us the remedy. He says, here's the remedy, repent. He says this to the church. You've allowed these things to come in to compromise you. He says, you need to repent. And he's speaking also to the people who are bringing in the selfishness, who are bringing in the sexual immorality, you know, who are bringing in these things into the church, the idolatry. He says to them, here's the remedy, repent. He says, repent, or else I will come to you quickly, verse 16, and will fight against them. He didn't say fight against you, those of you who are holding on to me, but against them, those who are bringing this stuff into the church, with the sword of my mouth, with my word. Now we've been here, I've been here 21 years, as I've said before, many times before, and the Lord has blessed this ministry. I really believe with all of my heart, the reason he's blessed this ministry, because we've had elements of idolatry, people coming in, elements of the Nicolaitans, people who want to set a new standard for righteousness in the church. I've seen people come in, you know, who are caught up in sexual immorality and looking around for sisters who, you know, maybe they can seduce or whatever. I've seen it all. And the reason they don't stay here and last is because the Lord fights against them, because his word, the sword of his mouth, is declared every week, week in and week out. Amen? And that's why the church continues. That's why this vineyard continues to stand. That's why the house of God continues to grow and people are being, you know, the word of God continues to go forth. It's the word of his mouth. I don't have to get all up in your face or and all that kind of stuff. It's God's word. Jesus said, I personally will do battle against you by the word of his mouth. And then he shows us the benefits that are listed here for those who will repent, who will submit to him. He says in verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name which is written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Wow. Two benefits. Number one, I will give you the hidden manna. He could be talking about Jesus being the bread of life. That hidden manna, that bread that the world knows nothing about, that nourishment, that strength that God gives to us through his word. And people wonder why you're smiling at work because you're in, and they know about your trial, but you still walk in with a smile. The joy, the spring in your step, and they're wondering, well, what are you doing? You work it out? You on a diet? What's going on? It is the hidden manna. Amen. They came to Jesus when he was talking to the woman at the well, and they didn't know what to say to Jesus because, rabbis don't talk to women in public back then in that culture. And in a sort of an awkward moment, one of the disciples said, Lord, did you get something to eat already? And Jesus said, I have food to eat you know not of. And here's the reality. We as believers in Jesus, we have food to eat that the world knows not of. It is the hidden manna of God. It's the word of God that nourishes our soul. But Jesus said, if you will repent, if you will do these things, if you have an ear to hear what I'm saying, I'll give to you the hidden manna. I'll feed you. The old song, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me until I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Amen? I love that. The bread of heaven God wants to feed us with each and every day. And here's the second benefit he says. He said, I will give you a white stone. Now, some believe that Jesus is alluding here to the Old Testament, the priesthood. They wore a breastplate that had 12 stones on it, and each stone represented a tribe of Israel, and the name of that tribe was on each one of those stones. That's in Exodus chapter 39. If you can't go to sleep tonight, amen. Read about all of the details God gave to Moses about building the tabernacle and the priestly garments and all of that. But in Exodus 39 is where he talks about the garments of the priests and the 12 stones on the breastplate. Could be alluding to that, but Jesus said, I will give you a white stone, white representing purity, white representing reconciliation, restoration, or acceptance before God. That white stone. And it would have a name on it that nobody knows but you and the Lord. It's not the name you have now. It's another name. Amen. Then Jesus is going to give you that stone. You know what it speaks of? He's talking about intimacy. Intimacy with you. He says, I know you. It's a personal thing that you and the Lord have. He's talking about intimacy with the Lord. It's the same type of intimacy, in a sense, that a husband and wife may have, the little cute names we give to each other. You know, you get that little name that you call him. He's a big old studly looking guy, but at home he's Pookie Bear. Come on now. And you shudder to think your friends will ever find that out, you know. Oh, Pookie Bear, hey, Pookie Bear, get over here and help us with this beam. Pookie Bear. Anyway. But it's a personal, intimate name. And I'm not saying it's going to be Pookie Bear, but it's an intimate name that God has for you and for me. He says, it's between us. It's time to come out from among the shadows of Satan's throne. It's time to refute the throne of Satan that tries to rule in the church and in our lives, and to come into the light. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 says, therefore come out from among them. Doesn't mean that you can't have people who are your friends that are not Christians. Doesn't mean that at all. But the spirit of the world, you can't have koinonia, fellowship with the spirit of this age. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. What? Almighty. Amen. Only then can we be blessed for success.
Thanks for listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center at either our Creekside or Westside campus. You'll find directions and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. And I also want to quickly remind you that Pastor Al's brand new book, Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, is now available. Pastor Al's new book will really help you better understand the amazing things that God has in store for this world. To order your copy, just go to cwccs.org. That's cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.